Christian soldiers marching as to war, with the cross of Jesus going on before. Christ the royal master leads against the foe.
Shalom Aleichem to all my pure-blooded, white, Christian, Israelite brothers and sisters out there. I'm Pastor Steve. The show is Word for Word here on Eurofolk Radio. And this show is for Tuesday, September the 20th, 2016. And we're going to be covering the book of Bamidbar, which is the book of Numbers, chapters 27 and 28. There are a number of things in these chapters. There's a law which still stands on inheritance. And Moshe gets called to the top of the mountain to see the promised land that he's not going to be able to go into. So let's get started right into chapter 27 this morning. There we go. Chapter 27, verse 1. Now, remember these daughters. We had spoken of them in the last chapter. The daughters of Zelophehad. Verse 1, name the daughters of Zelophehad, son of Kepher, son of Gilead, son of Machir, son of Manasseh, of the clan of Manasseh, son of Joseph. These are the names of the daughters: Machla, Noah, Kogla, Milcah, and Tirzah. And they stood before Moshe, and before Eleazar the priest, and before the leaders of all the congregation at the door of the tent of meeting, and said, "Our father died in the wilderness, and he was not in the midst of the assembly that gathered themselves against Yahweh in the assembly of Korach. But in his own sin he died, and had no sons. Why should be removed, 1639, the name of our father from among his clan, because he had no son? Give to us a possession, 272, among the brothers of our father." Verse 5, and brought Moshe their cause, 4941, before Yahweh. Spoke Yahweh to Moshe, saying, "Rightly, 3651, the daughters of Zelophehad speak. Surely give to them a possession of inheritance among the brothers of their father, and you shall cause to pass over the inheritance of their father to them." Verse 8, "To the children of Israel you shall speak, saying, any man that dies with no son, then shall pass over his inheritance to his daughter. And if he has no daughter, give his inheritance to his brothers. And if he has no brothers, give his inheritance to the brothers of his father. And if his father has no brothers, then you shall give his inheritance to the flesh, 7607, and that's figuratively used as kinsman here, that is nearest to him in his clan, and he shall possess it. And it shall be to the children of Israel a statute 2708 of Judgment 4941 that commanded Yahweh to Moshe. There you go. They're not going to get cut out of an inheritance in Israel, and that's Yahweh's justice. He looks after the daughters as well as looking after the sons. And this is a great thing about Yahweh, is his perfect justice. So, verse 12 takes a different tack. And said Yahweh to Moshe, go up into this Mount Abarim, 5682, and look at the land that I give to the children of Israel. Now, verses 12 through 14 here, you can reference Deuteronomy chapter 3, verses 23 through 27, and chapter 32, verses 48 through 52. Verse 13. And when you have seen it, you also will be gathered, 622, to your people, as Aharon, your brother, was gathered. Remember when Aharon died and the priestly robes were put on his eldest son? Verse 14. Because that you rebelled against, that's 4784, my word, 6310, in the wilderness of Sin, in the strife, 4808, of the congregation, to sanctify, 6942, me at the water before their eyes. That is the water of Meribah, 4809, in Kadesh, in the wilderness of Sin. T-S-I-N. And verse 14, you can reference Numbers 20, verses 8 through 13. Verse 15, spoke Moshe to Yahweh, saying, let a point, 6485, Yahweh Elohe, that's 430 in here, that means the divine being of the Spirit, 7307, of all flesh. Let appoint Yahweh Elohe, the Spirit of all flesh, a man over the congregation. He's still thinking about the congregation, even though he's just been told that he's going to die. What a marvelous man Moshe must have been. That goes before them and comes in before them, that takes them forth and that brings them in. So not shall be the congregation of Yahweh as sheep, 6629, that have no shepherd, 7462. And verse 17, you can reference 1 Kings, chapter 22, verse 17, and Ezekiel, chapter 34, verse 5, the book of Matthew, chapter 9, verse 36, and the book of Mark, chapter 6, verse 34. Verse 18, and said Yahweh to Moshe, take you Yahshua, 3091, son of Nun, 5126, a man that the Spirit is in, and lay, 5564, your hand upon him. On verse 18, you can reference Exodus. And cause him to stand before Eleazar the priest, before all the congregation, and charge him, that's 6680, that's a commandment, charge him in their sight. Verse 20. Put your majesty, 1935, upon him, so that we'll hear him, 8085, all the congregation of the children of Israel. Now, 8085 here means hear with the connotation of obeying. I hear and obey. Verse 21, and before Eleazar the priest he shall stand, who shall request, 7592, the judgment, 4941, by Urim, 224, before Yahweh, upon his word they shall go forth, and upon his word come in. He and all the children of Israel with him, and all the congregation. Verse 22. And did Moshe that which commanded Yahweh to him. He took Yahshua and caused him to stand before Eleazar the priest and before all the congregation. Verse 23, and laid his hand upon him, and charged him that which spoke Yahweh by the hand of Moshe. And verse 23, you can reference Deuteronomy chapter 31, verse 23. Now, chapter 27 ends here, and it contains a permanent law of inheritance for Israel. This is clearly stated in verses 1 through 11. And in verses 12 through 24, Moshe is told his earthly life will end because he smote the rock twice at Meribah and didn't credit the providing of the water to Yahweh by speaking to the rock in the name of Yahweh. He didn't glorify Yahweh there. Moshe accepts this, and the only thing he asks for is a good replacement for himself, because he knows Israel still has a long way to go to establish itself in the new land. So Yahweh designates Yahshua as the replacement and has Moshe charge him before the congregation. 6680 can mean command, but here it's charging with the duty rather than just a raw commandment, okay? And that finishes up chapter 27. Now we're going to launch into chapter 28 here. This is a chapter about gift offerings and sacrifices it's a reiteration, a repeat about all the high holy days and a lot of the stuff that has been said before, but as I told you, in the Hebrew they repeat things over and over and over. That is just the way they do things. Chapter to chapter, they'll have a lot of the same stuff they've had in another chapter. So that's what's going to occur here. And pardon the pauses, folks, but my morning cough is severe at times, and I don't want to offend anybody by coughing into the microphone. That's unpleasant. So I mute. I hit the little mute button here. And I really need to get a drink of this salt water. Clear my throat out a little bit. Chapter 28, verse 1. Spoke Yahweh to Moshe, saying, command the children of Israel and say to them, my gift offering and my bread for my offerings made by fire, for a pleasing odor to me, you shall observe to offer in their appointed times. That's 41:50. And you shall say to them, this is the offering made by fire, which you shall bring near to Yahweh. He lambs of the first year without blemish, two daily, a burnt offering continually. 8548. The one he lamb you shall offer in the morning, 1242, and the second he lamb you shall offer at 996, which means between the evening. 6153. Now, when they say between the evening, they mean the time right at dusk, right before full dark. At the between time, the twilight. There are not two evenings. There is only one evening. This is a figure of speech in Hebrew. It is not a literal dual evenings. Verse 5. And a tenth part of an ephah of fine flour for a grain offering, mixed with the fourth of a hin of beaten olive oil. A continual burnt offering, which was made in Mount Sinai for a pleasing odor, an offering made by fire to Yahweh. Verse 7. And the drink offering of it, a fourth of a hin for the one he lamb, in the holy place you shall cause to be poured out the strong drink. 7941 to Yahweh as a drink offering. Now, 7941 is shakar, and that is a type of high alcohol content beer that they brewed. So they could get blasted very well in the old days with warm beer. Oh boy. Verse 8, and the second he lamb you shall offer at evening as the grain offering of the morning, and as the drink offering of it, you shall offer it as an offering made by fire of a pleasing odor to Yahweh. Verse 9. And on the day of the Shabbat, two he lambs of the first year without blemish, and two tenth deals of fine flour for a grain offering mingled with olive oil. Verse 10, this is the burnt offering of the Shabbat besides the burnt offering continually and the drink offering. They were to add this to the other offerings, which were 7 days a week. So there was an additional offering that I just described on the Shabbat. Verse 11, on the head, 7218, of your months, you shall bring near a burnt offering to Yahweh. That's the first, the beginning. bullocks of the sons of the herd, two. One ram, he lambs of the first year, seven, without blemish. This is at the beginning of the month. And 3/10 deals of fine flour for a grain offering mingled with olive oil for one ram. And I got another page. Verse 13. And several 10th deals of fine flour for a grain offering, mingled with olive oil, to one he lamb, a burnt offering of a pleasing odor, an offering made by fire to Yahweh. That offering made by fire is one word. That's number 801. But they take several words in English to say it. Verse 14. And the drink offering shall be a half, 2677, of a hin for a bullock, and a third of a hin for a ram, and a fourth of a hin for a he lamb of wine, 3196. This burnt offering every month throughout the months of the year. Now there are 12 months in the year, as there are 12 tribes of Israel. So that's the order of things. See, and the hin is a liquid measure. I can't remember exactly how it is according to modern measurements, but it's a liquid measure. Verse 15. And one male of the goats for a sin offering to Yahweh besides the continual burnt offering and its drink offering. There's another sacrifice on the first of the month that is added on top of the daily sacrifice. That's an additional one. Verse 16. And in the first month, on the 14th day, is the Passover, 6453, to Yahweh. And you can reference Exodus 12 verses 1 through 13 and Deuteronomy 16 verses 1 and 2 for that. They're going to repeat these high holy days here. And verse 17, and in the 15th day of the month is the feast, 2282, for 7 days, matzot, that's 4682, that is unleavened bread, you shall eat. Now, matzot has become a Jewish product. They have matzo bakeries, etc., etc. But matzo just doesn't mean only a little thin cracker. You can have unleavened bread of different types. I know at our Passover here, the ladies all made different unleavened bread. I know Char made some really killer unleavened bread. We munched on it the whole feast. It was wonderful. So you can be very innovative as long as you don't use leaven in it. You can make all different types of bread. So there are even recipes on the internet that you can get. So verses 17 through 25 here, you can reference Exodus 12, verses 14 through 20, and verses 20, verse 23, 15, and verse 34, 18. And you can also reference Deuteronomy chapter 16, verses 3 through 8. Verse 18, and the first day is a holy convocation. That's a high Shabbat. All work of service, 5656, you shall not do. So you don't sweep out your garage, you don't wash your car. It's a high holy day. You don't do any work on that day. You have your sink full of water and you put your dirty dishes in it and you leave it till the next day. Verse 19, but you shall bring an offering made by fire as a burnt offering to Yahweh of two bullocks of the first year and one ram and seven he-lambs of the first year. Without blemish they shall be. And so we don't do this anymore. We can't. There is no temple. The temple is within ourselves, and we observe these days in joy, and we observe, we don't eat the any leavened bread, and we do all of that. But the stuff we cannot physically do is because Yeshua fulfilled it. We don't need to sacrifice for the remission of sin anymore. He did that for us. So, what is left of the law, we keep. We observe the festival. And we read scripture and we give praise to Yahweh. And we don't eat leavened bread. A lot of families traditionally on the first night on Passover, before unleavened bread, they have gone out and they bought lamb chops. And they cook lamb just as part of a tradition. It's not mandatory. But a lot of people do that, and it's a nice thing, lamb, and you use that mint jelly, and lamb chops are wonderful, broiled lamb chops. Let's go on here, verse 20. And their grain offering of fine flour mingled with olive oil, 3/10 deals for a bullock. And 2/10 deals for a ram you shall offer. Verse 21, and several 10th deals you shall offer for one he-lamb, for each of the 7 he-lambs. Verse 22, and one male goat for a sin offering to make propitiation for you. So we don't have to do that anymore. That's done. Yeshua finished that. Verse 23, you shall offer these beside the burnt offering in the morning, that is a continual burnt offering. Can't do that anymore. No tabernacle, no temple, no Ark of the Covenant, no altars, no Levitical priests. That's been fulfilled. Verse 24. This you shall do for 7 days. The bread of the offering made by fire, a pleasing odor to Yahweh, beside the continual burnt offering and its drink offering. And here we are in verse 25. And on the seventh day, that's 7 days of unleavened bread. Passover is a separate day. So this totally comes to 8 days. And on the seventh day you shall have a holy convocation. All work of service you shall not do. So what you've got is Passover. Then you have the first day, which is a high Shabbat of unleavened bread. And then you have Wave Sheath Day in the middle of the Feast of Unleavened Bread. This is the third day. Then you have a couple of intermediary days, and then when it gets to be the seventh day of unleavened bread, that's Passover plus 7 days, that final day is a high Shabbat. So, big feast. Verse 26, and here we are, the day of first fruits, Wave Sheaf Day. And in the day of the first fruits, 1061, when you bring a new 2319 grain offering to Yahweh, after your weeks, the Feast of Weeks, after your weeks, 7620, a holy convocation there shall be to you, all work of service you shall not do, on the day of first fruits. Seven Shabbats after Passover. That's the 50th day after Passover, the Shabbat after Passover. You count weeks. 7 times 7 is 49, and on the 50th day is first fruits. And you can reference verses 26 through 31 here in Exodus 23:16 and Exodus 34 verse 22 and Deuteronomy verse 16, chapter 16, pardon me, verses 9 through 12. Verse 27. You shall bring the burnt offering for a pleasing odor to Yahweh, bullocks of the first year, 2, 1 ram, 7 he-lambs of the first year. Verse 28, and their grain offering of fine flour mingled with olive oil, 3/10 deals for 1 bullock, 2/10 deals for 1 ram. Verse 29, and 7/10 deals for 1 he-lamb throughout the 7 he-lambs. Verse 30, 1 male kid of the goats to make propitiation for you, which we no longer need. Verse 31, beside the continual burnt offering and grain offering you do, without blemish they shall be to you and their drink offering. Okay. Chapter 29 that I'm going to get into tomorrow is more feast days. It concerns the crying of the trumpets and all of that. I just did the show. I recorded, pre-recorded for festivals. I for sure pre-record so I can celebrate the feasts without interruption. But sundown of the 18th of this month in 2016 to sundown of the 19th is the Feast of Trumpets. That is a high holy day. And it is also a weekly Shabbat. That was the show that I recorded yesterday. And this is the day after recorded. I'm actually doing this on a different date than when it will be played. On sundown of the 27th of this month, that'll be next week, to sundown of the 28th is Yom Kippur. They call that the Day of Atonement. I think that is an error. It is a day of propitiation. Because that means covering over of the sins. And that is what has happened with the blood of the bulls and goats. The sacrifices they used to do on that day. Well, that day has been fulfilled, and it is a day of joy and prayer and fasting because of the blessing that Yeshua brought us when he covered over our sins permanently. Okay? As long as you obey his commandments, when you proclaim him as Redeemer, then you change your lifestyle and you live according to his teachings. Those who give him lip service and do not obey his teachings, well, Yahweh reads hearts. He knows what's in your heart, and if you're faking it, no matter how good you look in your community and at your church, he's going to know whether you're sincere or not. And if you don't really believe and you don't honor it by your behavior in your everyday lifestyle, making a change, making a new man of yourself, putting on the new man, as they say in the New Testament, and they teach that all through it, you can't continue in the sins that you were doing before. You have to put them aside forever. I see a lot of lip service, and it says even in the Old Testament, and Yeshua quotes it, these people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. And that's a tragedy. I mean, all that our Redeemer went through for us, and it's offered as a free gift. I mean, you know, Yahweh is a God of wrath and a God of justice as well as a God of love. Of course he loves us. But he is perfect. And he cannot do imperfect things. He just can't. He can't be imperfect. He's always going to be perfect. And his justice is perfect too. And even though he loves us, he's going to have to dispense perfect justice. And a lot of people are going to be unpleasantly surprised when they stand in front of him and say, oh, I've gone to church all my life, so what? You go to church on the day of the sun god, on Sunday. Okay, that's not his day. And you put money in the collection plate. Where does it go? To pay for the big pipe organ and the stained glass windows? Instead of being a tenth of your increase going to help the widows and orphans in the community? That's what a tithe is for. It is not to send Bibles to Africa. It is not to buy fancy stuff. It's not to build a big mega church, because Yeshua, the Son of Yahweh himself, our Redeemer, and stuff out in the wilderness and taught people and laid hands on them and healed them. That was his ministry. He was a great healer, the greatest of all. Raising the dead, making the blind to see. And in a way, we try to continue his ministry here, making the blind to see. The spiritually blind, we want to open their eyes so they can see his glory and all that he did for us and proclaim him. And take him to heart, not just to their lips, not to be part of a social club, to look good, to do business in the community, but to make it part of your life so you truly are one of his instead of just in words only, in deeds. Faith without works is dead. You can say you believe till the cows come home, but unless you act on it, your life shows fruits worthy of repentance. There's room for doubt. All of us struggle with this at first, until it really takes deep root. And then you can go off on a on a mission like I've gone off. He's called me, and I couldn't say no. It's so overwhelming. And unless you've really, I can't really relate what it's like to be called. Words fail me. It is a burden, but it is a burden that you bear joyfully. It's a marvelous thing. It works changes in your life that you would never have believed before it happened. And he always seems to pick odd people. Which gives him more glory. He has picked people that other people reject and makes good men of them. It's his workings. It's not the inherent righteousness of the man, because none of us are righteous. Says so clearly in the scripture. Everything that happens in the life of one of his called people is his workings. The miracles that he's done for me, as far as physical healing, mental clarity, revealing of the word, the language that he's taught me, making it easy for me to study, providing me manuals and study books, paving the way for his work that he wanted me to do. And bada bing, bada boom, here I am. Now, I'm not some big TV preacher. I'm just some little guy in an apartment reading the Word and enjoying every second of it. And I know there's a bunch of people out there that enjoy it too. And that gives me great pleasure that I can share this with others. And there are those that are new that have never really heard it read the way I read it, which is just straight from the hip, no frills. I've removed all the add-ons that the churches have put in and took it back to bare bones scripture, to the very, very best of my ability. And I explain where I can a lot of difficult words, because people are trying to survive today. They don't have 30 years to study. They're just trying to make their house payments and feed their kids, so they can listen in or download and listen later to what I have to say, and they can sit there with their family and listen to the Word, which is the whole purpose of EFR, which is a blessing in itself. That's all your folk radio is about. Not about making money, not a mega station. You never hear me ask for a penny. I don't need your money, you need your money. Keep your money. You want to do something? Do something nice for somebody else. That's all. Just do something nice for somebody. Maybe you don't even know them. Maybe they just need a little bit of help. You can help them. Pass it on. I don't need anything. Yahweh provides everything for me. I'm fine. That's how it works. And I've been hooked up with some of these good Israelite people here where I live. And I get to go to the feasts. And I've made all kinds of wonderful friends. What a blessing in my life. I don't need a Cadillac. I don't need a $1,000 suit. I'm an old guy. You know, who have I got to impress? Don't wear diamond rings or jewelry. Don't have any of that stuff. Don't want it. I've got this Word. And it sounds like a lot of work, but not really. It's a lot of joy. I get things, even as much as I have studied, when I read through, something new always comes out. The more you read the Word, the more you'll learn. Even if you've read passages before, gone through the whole book 5 times. When the time comes for Yahweh to reveal something to you, in His Holy Scripture, He will reveal it. He will take you, and I've seen this time and time and time again, He will take you to the very passages He wants you to read, because something has happened in your life, and it's a different for all of us. Something's happened in your life where you need to read this passage, because it will have a whole new meaning, and He will take you there. All of us are a work in progress. I'm not looking for holy rollers and holier than thou. I'm looking for plain folk like myself that realize that they're sinners. And this gift that we have been given by Yahweh is because we are His true Israelite children, and He loves us, and He wants our lifestyle to change to come closer to him, because a father wants his children to be close to him. And Yahweh acts like any earthly father in many ways. The father figure, he loves us, yet he will discipline us. He loves us and he will teach us. He loves us and he will guide our path down the path that he knows is a safe and righteous path. All of these things a father will do, and he is no exception. Now they say, oh, God is love, God is love. Well, yeah, he is. But that don't mean he won't take his belt off and put some stripes on your butt. Done it to me. Been there. Done that. But that's because he loves you. He doesn't want you to go places that are going to be harmful for you. He doesn't want you to fall into the wiles of the evil one that's running things out in this wicked world today, because it's coming close to the time when all of this is going to end. I'm on the internet looking at things now with a whole new perspective, and I'm watching the world change. I'm seeing people come out from Babylon one by one, people starting to stand up, people fighting back against the floods of enemy aliens that are flooding into our formerly Caucasian nations for the purpose of the destruction of that nation. And I'm seeing people waking up. The works of the enemy are now working against them. They are becoming more and more visible by their actions, following what it says in Scripture, by their fruits ye shall know them. They are revealing themselves by the fruits that they bear. And even if you as an individual can only just straighten up your own life and bring your own spirit closer to that of the Spirit of Yahweh, that is a major victory. That is what I am hoping for. I'm not looking to build a mega church. I'm looking to reach individual Israelites one by one. Because the only control is self-control. You can be fooled into doing things, but you have to do those things. And you can have your eyes opened and things can be revealed to you to show you the truth, and then you will do other things. And I hope that these readings open a lot of eyes. That's the purpose of this show. It's not about me. It's word for word. It's word translation. Word study in an intense manner. I've really gone after it, and I got a lot of notes, and I've had the time to do it. You may not have that time, but I can share my work that has been shown to me with you, thereby imparting all that time I put in to you as a free gift. As redemption was a free gift to me and all of us from our Messiah, Yeshua. And if you get knowledge from this, I certainly hope that you will pass that knowledge on to your brothers and sisters and thereby extend the blessing to them. That's what it's all about. It's about brotherhood. It's not about me, 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 me. I want to get all I can get. He who dies with the most toys wins. Well, he who dies with the most toys still dies. And he ain't taking the toys with him. You know? Share. If you have knowledge of Yahweh, share it. Don't be afraid to share with your brothers and sisters. Bless them, and you will be blessed. If you have knowledge and you share that knowledge, you will get more knowledge. He will see to it that doors are open to you, that your eyes are open to see new things. That is the way Yahweh works. If you draw closer to him, he will draw closer to you. Let these words that I read to you change your life. Change your lifestyle to match the scriptures. Don't follow the people that have changed the scriptures to match their agenda. And they have done that. And I am unraveling their work day by day. I give you the scriptures as they are written, and sometimes they're a double-edged sword, and they bite me. Sometimes what I have to say is not pleasant. I'm sorry about that. I'm not here to bring everybody a candy bar. I'm here to tell you the truth. And that's all I can do. Even Bileam, that I told you about Bileam that was supposed to curse Israel. The angel appeared to him with a sword and scared the pants off of him. And he says, all I can tell you, Balak, is what Yahweh will let me tell you. I can tell you nothing else. He even used a wizard and a conjurer as a tool. How much more people that love him and are not his enemy? How much more will he use us? How much more will he use you? Yes, you, the listener. What can you do for Yahweh? How can you serve to spread the good news of our Messiah? Think about that. How can you serve? Well, we're coming down the end of this session. I'm going to get into chapter 29 tomorrow, and it's going to be a real dandy. So I will say Shalom Aleichem to all of you. That means peace be unto you, and may Yahweh bless. And I will join you tomorrow on Wednesday, September 21st. Shalom Aleichem.
Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war. With the cross of Jesus going on before, Christ the royal master leads against the foe.